five, six, seven, eight.
Suki. Star of the episode. Suki. Susie St. Star, James.
And then a, what's a sub-star called?
I don't know. Okay. I didn't take.
Featured guest.
I didn't take science. I did. I just didn't retain any of it.
I wasn't even talking about science.
Stars.
I was talking about, like, I know, like, the star of the episode, like a guest star is what I meant. I couldn't think of that word.
Okay.
Is this, this is about how this is going to go. Oh my God, why do people listen to this?
I don't know. Here we go. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Gilmore to Say with Tara and Haley. I'm Tara. This is Haley. Hi, Haley.
Hi, Tara, the scientist.
Yeah, I'm I am gunning for Bill Nye's job. Everybody, watch out.
Wow.
Damn.
This is a kooky start to a fun episode, I think.
I think so, too. I've been so excited about this episode. I didn't know that I was going to fuck it up in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah. Really? That was crazy. That was wild. When would I ever talk about science?
I don't know. I thought you were talking about astronomy. I thought you were talking about actual stars. And I was like, I don't know.
The star of this episode and the guest star, which I meant was Jackson, because of course we're talking about Suki today.
We are.
Which I tried to dress like Suki. I did the braids but I tried to do a little headscarf and I looked like a colonial woman about to go churn butter. So I opted
every
just
single
for like
time a- I hear something like that, I think of Bridesmaids, speaking of Melissa McCarthy, where Kristen Wiig is like, there's a colonial woman on the wing, she's churning butter.
It was me. That's exactly I was her hallucination.
It was you.
So I took off the headscarf despite wanting to look like Suki St. James.
That's okay.
And then I put on like a shirt that I feel like would maybe look a little bit like one of her chef's uniforms.
Oh yeah, you look so cute. And you're wearing your charm necklace, which I absolutely adore.
I am wearing my charm necklace.
So
it's got
cute.
A little ace card on it.
I love that. That's probably my favorite part. I also like the cherries.
I love the cherry. I got it because of Harry Styles.
Oh, what do cherries have to do with Harry Styles? Everything?
His song called Cherry.
Oh.
He's the fruit man.
He's the fruit man. I remember the grape juice song. Right?
Grape juice? Leo's favorite song.
Is it?
You just play that beginning of the 1, 2, 3, and he could be sobbing his eyes out and he will immediately just start jamming.
Oh, I love that. Loves it. He's so cute. Let's keep these good vibes going.
Let's keep these good vibes going.
Yeah, let's keep these good vibes going. Speaking of good vibes, it's Suki and Jackson's anniversary this week, so we thought it would be appropriate to finally have a Suki and Jackson episode because we haven't had one yet. We've talked about the two of them, really talking about Suki. We talked about Suki in relation to how, you know, what kind of friend she is to Lorelai, kind of, or what kind of friend Lorelai is to her, rather, a couple years ago. I think we talked about their friendship, but we haven't really talked about Suki as a character, her relationship with Jackson, and I'm really excited to get into it today.
Yeah, and we do know that it is Suki's anniversary this week with Jackson because of the sign in I Can't Get Started says May 19th on it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes people are like, wait, how do we know this? How is this true?
Yeah.
And that one is just a tiny little detail that we picked up in our season 2 rewatch. And we were like, ooh,
I love
gotta
it.
Celebrate.
So here we are, this year would be their 22nd anniversary. How
cute.
Crazy. That's so crazy.
It's also the 22nd anniversary of Jess and Rory kissing by the pond.
You know I know it well.
Yeah. But let's keep it about
this. I was going to say, we're not here to talk about that today. We're here to talk about Suki and Jackson. But let's start with Suki. Because Suki's character, of course, plays a much larger role. And Jackson is one of the townies that is really implemented into the story because of his relationship with Suki and because he's a part of the town. But he doesn't really stand alone too often. I feel like Suki and Jackson are kind of a pair. Suki stands on her own. Jackson stands on his own sometimes, but not nearly as much.
Yeah. Really only when he is running for town selectman does he have any sort of like real plot line of his own.
Yeah, he'll have some moments. Like, remember in the Easter egg hunt when he and Gypsy are like a little pair? Oh my God, funny.
Like the pairing that I didn't know I needed.
Yeah, we didn't know. It's true. But other than that, we usually only see him as he relates to Suki and Lorelai. Sometimes Rory.
Yeah.
But before we get into their relationship, let's talk about Suki and the creation of her character, because she was obviously like introduced to us very first episode. She plays a very important role in Lorelai's life, especially because as soon as we meet Suki, it's said by Lorelai, you know, when we open our own inn, like that storyline and the two of them, you know, being so heavily integrated into each other's lives and being partners in something that exists outside of the Independence Inn is introduced to the audience right away. And so it makes Suki such an important part of the story. We've mentioned this before. I don't know if it's been on pod or on Patreon, but it's very well known that Melissa McCarthy was not the original actress to play this character. But we've also mentioned before that before anybody was cast in the role of Suki, Amy wanted the character of Suki to be gay.
Yeah, that was according to a Huffington Post article from June 2015 in the lead up to the, or I guess it wasn't the lead up to the revival. It was just a random occurrence.
Was that around the same time that everything happened at ATX?
Potentially. That could have been around the time that that happened. But the exact quote was, "Things were different back then," said Amy Sherman Palladino. "The networks were very different in how permissive they were. They would allow you to be." So Suki was originally supposed to be gay, but that was a non-starter at the time. Mm. She then goes on to say that like storylines like that really started to dominate shortly after that.
Yeah.
But at the time of it, it just really wasn't anything that they were going to go for. So they changed it.
I think that would have changed the dynamic of her character significantly, because as we'll talk about today, you know, Suki's character went from being Lorelai's best friend to kind of standing on her own and her relationship with Jackson, because that is also introduced to us pretty early on in season one. So I just wonder what kind of direction her character would have taken had the network approved this choice from Amy.
Yeah. Was this on, I can't remember if it was on pod or on Patreon, where we talked about how Luke was originally supposed to be Daisy, mm-hmm. and was supposed, they like threw in Luke because there's too much estrogen on the show.
I think that this was in our What If Luke episode.
Was it?
Maybe.
And so like then Suki and Daisy might have ended up together, that which would have been interesting.
Very interesting. That would have changed the entire show.
Yeah, which I or maybe it wouldn't have. Maybe it would have been kind of like the filler for like the Luke Lorelai sort of like, because like Suki is very, well, Suki as she was as Melissa McCarthy is very like fun and silly and mm-hmm. sunshine. And then I imagine Daisy would be more of a grumpy character.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just, I kind of wish that could have played out like that.
I know.
It would have been interesting. Or maybe there would have been a nice produce farmer lady.
Oh, that's true. Who entered the chat.
Jacqueline.
Yeah, Jacqueline. Oh, perfect. Yeah. But originally, as many of you know, it was filmed this way for the original pilot that didn't air in its entirety. But Alex Borstein played the character of Suki St. James. And Alex, at the time, was married to Jackson. What's his last name?
Douglas.
Douglas. Thank you. I was like, Jackson Belleville.
Yeah.
Which is wrong.
Jackson's name is Jackson in real life.
Yeah.
The actor's name is Jackson
Douglas. Yeah. And they were married in real life. So it definitely would have been very sweet to see the two of them portray love interests eventually. But due to...
Would it have been?
I don't know. Because the thing is if you've seen the unaired pilot of Gilmore Girls with the scenes that Alex is in, she plays a very different version of Suki. I personally prefer Melissa McCarthy, and not just because we grew up with her. I just think that the bubbly 100%. Nature of what Melissa brought to the role is such a juxtaposition to Lorelai's character. And the thing is that, as many of us know, unless you haven't watched the show, Alex goes on to play Susie Meyerson.
If you haven't watched the show.
No, if you haven't watched if you haven't watched Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Oh. Gotcha.
If you haven't watched The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Alex goes on to play Susie Meyerson in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. So she ends up playing kind of the secondary best friend sidekick in that show. And ironically, there's that moment where Suki gets her wedding invitations and it's addressed to Suzy St. James. And I love that like ends up becoming another character's name in, you know, in another show, in another ASP world that Alex goes on to play. And I just feel like that role was just so much better suited for Alex, her temperament. She's so good. She's been nominated for several Emmy Awards for that show, and they are well deserved because her energy just is catered more to, I mean, her career If you've seen the Lizzie McGuire movie, you know. Her career is just, she has done so much and she has such an array of talent. But I just feel like the role of Susie Meyerson was so much better suited for her than the role of Sukie St. James. And I think that Melissa brings a bubbliness to it that kind of measures up against Lorelai's sarcasm, and like she can be, she is really a reflection of Amy. And I think that having that like harsher energy that I think Alex brings to the role, it just it's not different enough, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think that Midge in Maisel, from what I've seen, has more of that like bubbly energy at times that can balance out the Susie Alex Borstein energy. But I think that at the time, because we talked about this in depth, because our first Patreon episode is actually reviewing the unaired pilot. Reviewing, just discussing.
Exploring all the Easter eggs and the nooks and crannies of that. Yeah.
And I think the thing that we talked about there is that she's playing Sukie too much like she plays Drella in season one. And there's just too many snarky people at that point. Like, Luke is really snarky. Michelle is really snarky. Like, she's plays Sukie really snarky. And it just, like, kind of weighs the show down. Because even Rory is really snarky in that first episode. And it just feels like to have that balance of Sukie's enthusiasm, especially when Lorelai goes in there with that Chilton letter and the Roy's going to Chilton, that little dance that she does.
Yeah.
I just can't see the Alex Borstein version of that, like, really being sold in the way that, like, Sukie's enthusiasm comes across.
Totally.
And so much of what we love about this character is what Melissa brought to it, and, like, who knew at the time that she was going to become Melissa McCarthy. Like, this huge star. And I think that it was like born there that like you could really see the choices that she was making was like what was bringing this character to life. And I don't think, it's not that Alex doesn't have the potential to do that, but I just don't think that that is in her nature to play a character like that. I would like to see it.
I agree. No, I think that watching the unaired pilot, maybe just watching it through my lens because I've seen Alex do so many things, I just don't believe like the chipperness of her character as much as I believe Melissa. Melissa is just so naturally. Wait, like even bringing it back
to Lizzie McGuire movie. She plays that same character there.
Totally, totally. Like she's very good at playing like the sarcastic, you know, kind of one note, very, very funny, but in a dry way character.
Yeah. Brown knows her with a hidden agenda.
And so I feel like her playing what Sukie evolves into, it just would have been a very different character. And I'm not saying it wouldn't have been one that we didn't love as an audience. It just wouldn't have been the one that Melissa brought to the table.
Yeah.
I think it was good for everybody involved because Alex has also done an amazing array of things. She was Family Guy, Matt TV, Lizzie McGuire movie, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. You know, she goes on to do absolutely brilliant things, as does Melissa, but this was Melissa's part.
Yeah, and it was because of Mad TV that she ended up not playing Sukie, right?
Yes. It was her contract with Mad TV that would not allow her the space to play the role, which I, again, think was a blessing in disguise. So, and I do think that the way that she also brings an interesting flavor to the character is the way that she's juxtaposed up against Jackson, because we'll talk about them a little later, but Jackson is a very, like, you know, he is an interesting character in and of himself. And so I think that like the cheeriness and the chipperness of Sukie and, you know, what she brings to the table, it really works. It fits in so nicely.
Yeah. I have a lot to say on that when we get to the Jackson section, the science portion.
So how do you feel about, not the science portion. Not the science portion. Okay. So, but how do you feel about the character of Sukie in general, outside of, you know, who played her? How do you feel about Sukie?
I love her. I think the thing that we are talking about of, like, the element of Sukie that Melissa brings to it, that, like, cheeriness, we need that in the show. Because there's not a ton of characters who are just delightful people.
And she's so delightful. And I think that
she's so delightful. She's so cute. She's got her little pigtails. She's a chef. Like, she just has such enthusiasm for the world around her, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think in part because of the way that she, like, savors her food. I feel like she savors the world around her too.
Yeah.
And she really, I don't know. I think that the show would be very different without her. Talking about Alex versus Melissa's portrayal of her, I think that she's one of those people who is essential to the feel of what Gilmore Girls is.
I totally agree.
Different.
She's a comfort character.
Yeah.
She just like, you just feel comfortable with her. I just think she also is kind of underrated in how many really amazing lines that she has, especially in those early seasons.
Oh my gosh.
Like,
yeah.
And I also really love the levity that she brings to some of Lorelai's problems when it feels like, you know, the sky is falling. And of course, the clumsiness in the kitchen. I just love that they introduced that on the outset in the pilot. And she does lose a little bit of that as the show goes on. But I do think that for the most part, they try to keep her character as consistent as possible.
Yeah. And it's just the little lines that she has, like, all I can think of is like every time she sings a song, like Roy's going to Chilton.
The cookies in the love. And when she does the cha cha cha, when she does the Ricky Martin, living la vida loca. Oh God, it's so funny.
She's talking about her being Lorelai being the bolter. It's just like, I feel like so often, like, there's that element that she does bring to Lorelai's problems of, like, she makes it not seem like it's the end of the world. But equally, when it does seem like maybe Lorelai is, like, pushing something off, Suki will bring it back. And what we deemed in Patreon is Suki's honesty hour.
Yeah.
That we do also lose a little bit of that. But I feel like Suki is a good, not just tool for the writers to have Lorelai externalize her feelings, mm-hmm. but also to have Lorelai investigate her feelings and challenge her in how she feels about a lot of things. Because I know that we were talking about recently, I think on Patreon, about how we wish Lane was like that with Rory.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think Suki does such a good job of, like, making Lorelai think about her decisions.
100%. Yeah, I had, I kind of broke down, like, moments where I feel like Suki is a good friend, moments where I feel like she could have been a better friend, and some of my favorite friendship moments.
Okay.
But before we get there, I just want to share some of my favorite Suki moments from, like, mostly the early seasons.
Yes.
She just has some of the funniest lines. I love that when she starts second guessing whether or not she should have asked Jackson out, she goes, "Oh my God, technically I'm his employer. I am. I buy his wares. His livelihood depends on me. I'm a sexual harasser." Like, she's just,
I love, "I buy his wares." That was one of my favorite lines from that episode.
I love that also, like, kind of to that, when Joe from the Deer Hill Lodge asks her out.
Yes,
that was it's my next like thought. It's kind of twofold. I love that when she comes in, like, out to the desk and Lorelai's on the phone and she's like, he thinks this is a date. And then she's like trying to figure out what she should say. She's like, "Oh, I can tell him I'm a lesbian." And she's like, "Oh, or you're married." "Oh, I'm married." Good. "I'm married." That's a good one. And it's like, you are married. And then when she does eventually let him down easy and he, like, walks out, and Lorelai and Suki are, like, watching him go. And Lorelai's like, "Good. Now he can go on his way and find his person." She goes, "I'm a whore." "I'm a whore."
Delightful.
Oh my gosh. And yeah, love when she sings. I love when she makes up words. Like at the Bracebridge dinner when she's like, "I'm so sad and so mad. I'm smad." Or when she's like, "What's the opposite of ennui? Off we. I'm cured. I only ever hear that in your voice. "Off we. I'm cured."
I love that line. One of my favorite lines in the whole series is that one in particular. I made bracelets for our live show that said "off we" and "on we," because just
it's just perfect. You could flip it. Yeah, flip it around and just let us know
the right
how you're feeling. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And also when she tries on her wedding dress.
Oh, I know.
Like the whole monologue that she gives to that.
I know.
And getting to see her. It's so Suki to get to see her in a panic in her wedding dress while she's fixing her cake, or rather destroying her cake.
Yeah.
Rather than
daffodils.
Her, like, in her
Am I
ceremony.
Crazy? Daffodils.
Yeah, you are.
Oh my God. Because so
I don't
funny.
Think those are daffodils.
I don't know. I don't remember. Am I crazy? I also love both of her pregnancy reveals.
Yeah.
I love that so much. I love that.
It's a good friend moment.
It's a beautiful friendship moment between her and Lorelai when they're like, I mean, it makes me cry every time when they're running towards each other in the inn and they're just screaming to the high heavens and dancing around, and Rory is in on it. And I also love the relationship that she has with Rory. I love how much she cares for Rory. I love how she's sobbing like a baby at Rory's graduation. But I do wish that we could have seen more moments between Suki and Rory. As like, you know, in the way that she kind of guides Lorelai, I almost wish there were moments when Rory ran to Suki for her problems, but she never does, ever.
That would have been good. You know, what's interesting is one of the problems she could have run to Suki for was Lorelai's birthday in season 3, but we never see her.
We never see Jackson Suki.
Speaks to.
Yeah.
But like.
Totally.
Odd.
So odd.
It's, what's his name from Antonio Leo's?
Oh, gosh. Pete. Yeah.
Yeah, Pete and Fran are the ones helping out. Where's Suki?
I know. Where's Suki? She could have done so much.
That would have been a great Suki-Rory moment.
I know. It would have been really nice. And so...
And she always has really cutesy names for her. Mm-hmm. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but she always calls her odd things.
Like Puddin' Pop or like Pumpkin Pie.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Pastries.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very cute. I just... I think she's such... I'm going to say an underrated character, even though maybe by the fandom she is very heavily, highly rated. Yeah. But I do think that I just think she brings such levity to so many things in a different way than Lorelai and Rory already bring humor to their lives, you know, because Lorelai, again, kind of brings it in this sarcastic, kind of deflective way, whereas Suki
brings an earnestness to the show.
She really does.
I think otherwise lacks.
I totally agree. Which brings us to Lorelai and Suki's friendship. Because we had Eli Rallo on a couple weeks ago who made a very bold statement about how she felt like Lorelai was a terrible friend, specifically to Suki. And I actually have some thoughts on that. But first, I want to talk about whether or not Suki is a good friend. I do think she is a fantastic friend, personally.
Yeah.
I think she has so many moments where she is a good friend. But I do think there are some moments when she could be a better friend. So I want to start with the moments where I feel like she's a good friend, which... Like, kind of going chronologically, those Bangles tickets in Concert Interruptus.
Oh my gosh, just like they were nothing.
She was like, I got us 4 tickets to the Bangles at the Passarella Theater, like, surprised Lorelai with it. Like, one for me, one for you, one for Rory, and one for Lane. Like, that's so thoughtful. She's very thoughtful. Even though sometimes Suki can be a little thoughtless, she can be very thoughtful.
Yeah.
Which I think is really sweet.
I think it just speaks to Suki's, like, nature that that's kind of how she is. She just kind of, like, if it's right in front of her, she'll... be there for it, but she can kind of things can linger from her mind.
I think letting
relatable.
I think honestly, same. I think that letting Lorelai borrow her car to go see Max in the breakup part 2, and she just comes over and is like, "Can I borrow your car?" And she's like, "Yeah,
yeah,
I don't need it. Go ahead, we're in for the night." Like, yeah. So casual, planning her,
but like without asking any questions. Too.
No, she just trusts, like, Lorelai implicitly. She's just like, "Here you go.
I'll get the deeds later. Here you go."
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Planning her surprise wedding shower when Lorelai got engaged to Max, and inviting her parents was really, really sweet and kind. Yeah. Now, it did kind of ruffle some feathers. But
yeah, there are some times where Suki, I think, has the best of intentions, but also has forgotten the plot of the show.
Correct. Yeah.
There's like sometimes I'm like, have you talked to her about this?
Totally.
Is this really the best way to go about this?
I have thoughts about that for ways in which I think she could have shown up as a better friend, which I'll get to in a second. But yes. I like the intricate menu that she plans for Gran when they take her to the Independence Inn and That'll Do Pig. It's also one of my favorite moments when she has like a giant slit down the back of her coat and they're like, how did you get that? And she's like, well, first I went like this and then I did this and then I turn. And then it's just like...
It's so
the
Melissa.
Physical comedy is
the
so
physical comedy.
So good. Yeah. And then making Lorelai go home at the beginning of season 5 when she's clearly trying to use work as a mechanism, like a coping mechanism for the fact that she's fighting with Rory and also that Luke is not there, and she makes her go home because she's scaring the employees. She's like, you need a day. Go. Leave. Be gone from here. And then I also have trying to reconcile the Gilmore Girls in Always a Godmother, Never a God.
She really does. She knows what's important.
Yeah.
I'll add to that in, I'm pretty sure it's I'm okay, you're okay, in that episode when the Gilmores come over for, like, very suddenly they're coming to visit Lorelai.
Yes.
Suki kind of drops everything she does to bring over food. And she's like, this is, like, what is it? Pasta alla Suki, and it's mac and cheese. And there's, like, so many moments where there'll be, like, a she'll show up at the door and she's like, I just had Davy asleep, but she's still showing up.
Yeah.
The amount of times that she'll kind of just, like,
with the, with the party, the, Emily's bachelorette party.
Yeah. And there's just, like, so many different moments where, like, she recognizes that she needs to show up for her friend, or she doesn't need to show up for her friend. She wants to because Lorelai asked her to.
Totally.
And, you know, like, she helps plan, like, she's an essential part of helping to plan Lorelai. It is Lorelai, Rory's 16th birthday. And so she really, like, provides for them, like, or when they're mad at Luke. And they come over for breakfast and she's like, totally fine. Oh, yeah. Just drop in.
When they have the the termites and she's like, yeah, we're gonna do this and we're gonna do that. We're gonna have a sleepover. We're gonna do mud masks and we're gonna make like milkshakes. And she just brings them over. No questions asked. Shoves Jackson in the closet and says, come on over.
Yeah, she's a real caretaker. Not to mention she caretakes for Kirk.
She does indeed.
And end of the night indeed. When he runs into the rose bush
butt first.
Ouch. I just think that she tends to them in ways that like I think could be considered like going like completely out of your way for someone, but I think to Suki it just
is normal. It's
being
natural.
Friends to someone.
Totally. Moments I felt like she could have been a better friend are kind of few and far between because I do think she really does show up. But with the double date with Rune, I think that...
Yeah.
I really think that her just volunteering Lorelai to go on this date when she's like, oh man, I don't want to do this. But I think it is a good friendship moment for Lorelai to go and just be like, okay, I'm going to do it. But then when Rune shows up and he is as ridiculous as he is, I wish that Suki and Jackson had said something. Like,
yeah,
I wish that Suki would have been like, hey man, but she was very nervous. I understand the circumstances. I can empathize, but I also can criticize. I think that she should have said something.
Or like, I really think that was more on Jackson.
Yeah. Admittedly. Yeah. But I also wish Suki had maybe been like, we don't have to go if you don't want to go. I don't want this guy talking negatively about you all night. But I also think like in the early 2000s, not that being a girl's girl wasn't a thing, but I do think that like women, like female camaraderie is a little bit more normal today. I think it's more common today than maybe it was back then.
But I do think it was Lorelai doing that because I think she recognized like she's nervous about Jackson. She doesn't really want to call Jackson out on this because of the nature of everything. So I think it was Lorelai. Mm. Maybe Lorelai doing that on her end.
Sure. Yeah.
But Rune. Whoops.
The next one I have kind of goes hand in hand with this. And I don't know exactly how I feel about it because it does kind of... I've been in this situation before where I've been like an innocent bystander in situations like this, but sometimes the way that Emily speaks to Lorelai in front of Suki, I don't know that I necessarily would want Suki to be like, hey, don't talk to her like that. But it's just like she just kind of stands by and like gets uncomfortable and lets it happen. And or she'll like brush off Lorelai's concerns about her mom when it comes from a place of experience, like with Suki and Emily running around planning the like extravagant wedding that Suki almost had at the hand of Emily. And Lorelai was like, listen, you are entering Emily land. She's like, no, I'm not. Stop it. And it's like, Suki, could you listen to your friend? Could you just listen to her for like 2 seconds and like read the room a little bit? It just sometimes feels like she doesn't read the room sometimes.
Or, like, she doesn't fully grasp it, which I think that, like, I don't know. I'm sure we've all been with a friend as their parent is kind of getting on to them, like, at least when we were younger.
Totally.
And been like, oh, I am just going to stand here so quietly and just, like, absorb into the floor because I don't want to be here right now. So I think – but I don't think that necessarily I would then use that to – then color my entire perception of their parent. Maybe I did when I was younger.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's different when you're an adult. As an adult. Yeah. I was about to say that. As an adult, because she has a lot of at least history that Lorelai has told her about. And so to see it, you're kind of like, ooh, wow. But I don't know. I don't know if it's in Suki's nature to be forgiving or if it's in Suki's nature, who honestly encourages Lorelai to constantly reach out to her mom.
Yeah.
First of all, in the pilot. So I think that there's this like hope that because Suki isn't necessarily always exposed to it, that she might encourage Lorelai to reconcile with her family. Because I think that from the early seasons, Suki's mom has passed.
That's what it sounds like. Yes.
That's what it seems like with the magic risotto. The magic risotto
on her deathbed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She lived for a couple months longer. Is that right?
I think it was years.
Years. It was like 2 years longer. Something like that. I forget the exact amount of time. But like, so I wonder if maybe that plays into it. Mm-hmm. At least on our end perceiving that.
Totally.
So I don't know. I think that there's a forgiveness to it, but at the same time, it's sure. Like, well, let me be in charge of the way that you feel about my family.
Yeah, of course, totally. It's definitely a mini flaw that I would point out. It's not something that I'm like, she really didn't step in when Emily said XYZ.
Punched Lorelai in the face.
Exactly. It's not that deep, but it's just one of those things where I sometimes I'm like, are you forgiving? Do you just kind of make excuses and give people the benefit of the doubt? Or do you actually see things for like how unhealthy they possibly could be? You know?
Yeah.
But for me, and this is kind of separated a little bit from friendship, but it's their partnership at the end sometimes. There are two instances that, of course, we see throughout the series where Lorelai and Suki have a fight. And the big one is in the Ins and Outs of Inns in season 2 when Mia comes back and they're talking about potentially buying the Dragonfly property. Fran denies them that potential right, or so she thinks, and says she's going to own it forever. Mia then tells them she's going to sell the Independence Inn if they are looking to do their own thing. And it kind of puts Lorelai in this really negative headspace. They end up having a fight over the fact that Lorelai doesn't feel like Suki's showing up. And Suki feels like she's being condescending. Lorelai, that is. And I see both sides of the argument.
Yeah,
but I also, they're both right. Like, there are ways in which Suki can not show up. And in that instance, I was kind of like, oh, I get where they're both coming from. They make amends. Everything's cool. But then in season 4 in The Incredible Sinking Lorelai is when Lorelai is basically like running around like a chicken with their head cut off. They don't have, they're running out of money. Her grandmother has like sees it all over her and calls her out for it. All Lorelai wants is just one day to go get her hair done. And Suki was supposed to approve the sink per her request. She was like, I have to be here to approve that sink. It does not get installed until I approve it. And she fell asleep with Davey. Lorelai gets a phone call in the middle of all of this happening and she's trying to get her hair done and she has to leave to go find Suki because she's trying to call her. She won't pick up. And so he's like, oh, Tom could have done that. Well, why didn't you call Michelle? He always wants to be a part of things. But like, you know, the second that we ask him to, and Lorelai's like, no, you needed to show up and do this. And then Suki is like, well, I didn't know that we were going to start an inn when I got pregnant. Like, I didn't know that I would, she says, like, I didn't know I was going to be pregnant when we decided to open the inn. And I'm like, I get it. You're a mom. Being a mom is a very, very challenging job to have on its own, let alone maneuver the partnership of opening, like starting a new business. But she does put a lot of it on Lorelai and saying like, my part comes later. And it's like, so what? So you guys are partners in this, but Lorelai is supposed to do all the work until until the meat arrives? Like, no, that's not fair. Yeah. And so in that instance, I'm so team Lorelai all the way. I feel like Suki, understandably, is like tending to her needs to be a mom, and sometimes things come up and you can't, you know, you can't fulfill some of the places that you said you were going to be. But when you insist on doing that and then you don't show up and then act as if it's kind of cavalier, you're like, oh no, they could have done that. It's like, oh no, you need to show up again. It's kind of like that same argument just in a different font. And so in that way, I wish that she hadn't brushed it off so much, because Lorelai is running herself into the ground trying to build this thing for the two of them, not just for herself. You know, they're partners in this, and having a partner means 50-50.
Yeah. And I think that that was what was so hard at the time, is like they really had different priorities, because I think once the inn comes around, I feel like Suki is a lot more willing to sort of step into her role as the other business partner and kind of take over for her, like that moment in
A Messenger, Nothing More, when she makes her go home. Yeah.
That one, but when Suki's being like lifted out of the inn when Michelle is doing that little tour and she's like, I'm back.
I'm back.
It kind of feels like, it kind of feels like that flip of like, it's gone from like Suki, who is not been showing up as well, because I feel like the main struggle of season four is that Lorelai's having to do this all on her own and almost like without a business partner and without a friend, because I feel like it's more so the conflict is with her business partner than with her friend, because I feel like Suki shows up as a friend as we go along, because then she helps her with the mock turtle soup at Gran's, like for Richard when Gran dies, and shows up at the funeral.
Yes.
So she kind of like drops things in that regard as a friend, but maybe is more willing to prioritize herself over business matters.
Sure.
Which is iffy.
Yeah, I mean, that's so nuanced, right? Because, you know, choosing your family over business feels like the smart, decent thing to do as a human being. But, you know, it just becomes different when, you know, you are really, it's a labor of love. Like, this is not just, you know, a job. It is literally you building something with your business partner who you did know that you were pregnant when you decided that you guys were going to open the inn in actuality. If you're taking it back to like when we decided we were going to do this years and years and years ago, you know, as it's introduced to us in the pilot, of course she didn't know she was going to be pregnant. But you knew that you were pregnant when you decided to put the bid in on the Dragonfly property. So like this was not news. You know, you could plan these things out. So it just didn't feel like a viable argument to me. And it felt like an in the moment thing. I think that they, you know, obviously, they buried
sleep deprived.
Yeah, she was sleep deprived. She's like running herself ragged as a new mom. Like, that's so hard. But, and you know, I'm sure they eventually got over it. It's just sometimes the criticisms that Lorelai issues in season two in that argument in the ins and outs of ins, despite the fact that it's not delivered well, you can see why she sometimes has frustrating moments with Suki for not showing up. But I think that it all gets rectified. It's just those are the two moments that I'm a little bit like, oh, I really wish that you had shown up a little bit better for your business partner. But again, is that really a friendship flaw? I don't know. I still think that her being a good friend outweighs anything that I just mentioned.
Yeah, I will say I do appreciate that we don't see the like reconciliation of that moment, because I think it would have done like a disservice to their friendship, because overall, I think that they are great friends to each other.
Totally.
Because I think if we're like choosing, because we don't do this with, we don't do this when like evaluating our friendships with people. We don't like point out and we're like, this is the moment. I mean, some people might, but this is a moment, this is a moment, and this is a moment. And this is why I can't like justify them being my best friend. Totally. But I think that the thing that I like about them is that it's this like mess of things of like they both mess up, they both show up really well.
Yeah.
And I think that being able to like move through that, because your friend, like, individual friends can't be everything to you.
Yeah.
And I think that having friends for various things is the best way to move through your friendships.
Totally.
And not make one everything. And I kind of think as we move through. That's so much pressure. Yeah. As we move through and like Jackson pops up and she has kids and Lorelai has her family and Rory and things, that they do a really good job of balancing that. So it's like, it's less about the balance of like, oh, when was she good? When was she bad? But I think that they just both kind of mess up, wash it away. And it just ends up that they let each other stay messy, but still stay with each other. And I really think that that's really the mark of a good friendship.
Totally.
Between
I love their friendship. But I want to bring that up because I feel like a lot of what Eli spoke to, a lot of people have spoken to in the fandom. They've been like, you know, I don't think Lorelai's a good friend. Look at the way she treats Suki. And I'm like, well, I actually disagree with that. I think that they kind of both go back and forth on some moments. Like there are several moments where Lorelai totally shows up for Suki. I feel like when she's doing her hair for her on that double date and her going on the date in general, because it was an absolutely horrifying date. And then like her calming her down in season four when Suki doesn't think her baby's going to come out and she brings out Rory's, you know, baby box and she's like, you're going to be a great mom. Oh, and the way she calms her down in The Hobbit, the sofa and digger style, she's like, hey, you're going to be a great mom. Everything's going to be fine. Like there are ways that they both show up for each other in tandem. And I think they have a beautiful friendship.
Yeah. And I think that it's a really good character that was built out to be Lorelai's sort of like sounding board that like sounds back to her, like the Suki Honesty Hour.
Oh, I miss it. I was thinking back to it as we were, you know, doing notes for this episode, and I was just like, man, I loved that. Is part of what I love about season one. I know that we've had a lot of conversations surrounding where we put it in our rankings and how it's been like it was a little chaotic when we were rewatching it, but man, that is some of the stuff that I really love is Suki Honesty
Hour. As much as we loved four, it was gone. But I think because Suki Honesty Hour cooks up in the kitchen.
It really does.
So it seems like we're getting a little bit as we move into five, mm-hmm. but not as much.
I'm very intrigued to take stock of that as we move through it, because I've missed it in season four. I love it in season one. Like the moments that came to mind were in, I think, episode three, Kill Me Now, when she's walking with Lorelai and Lorelai is like very torn on whether or not she wants Rory to have a relationship with her grandparents. And Suki goes, "You're jealous. You are. You're jealous that they like Rory better than you." And when
just stab her, Suki, well, that's with a knife.
Lorelai says, "Thanks for the hug." And she goes, "See, I'm bad at advice talks. Can we talk about soup? I'm great at soup." And it's like, actually, you're not. You're just honest. And I think you are good at soup. It may be the advice. You're not offering advice. You're offering.
Yeah.
You're pulling her feelings out of her. And it can be very intense sometimes.
A very clear, concise version of events.
Totally.
To the core of things.
Yeah.
And the core of things can hurt. That was intense for a little walk down the sidewalk.
Exactly. Just out in broad daylight. Such a drive-by.
Just murder her on the street.
Literally. And then, of course, famously, like when I think of Suki Honesty Hour, this is the moment I think of. It's in Paris is Burning in season one. And it's when Lorelai is considering breaking up with Max. And she's kind of like making all of these like excuses. And Suki's like, "How long have you been dating him? 2 months? 2 months? Yeah, this is usually when you do the getaway dance. This is about the time you start doing your little getaway dance. 2 months, right on the nose. You're good." And it's like Lorelai is so off put by that. And that's when she starts singing the Live and La Vida Loca, Ricky Martin, cha-cha-cha. Yeah. And Lorelai comes back at her and is like, "Well, what do you know about relationships? You haven't been in a relationship in years." And it's like, oof, oof, oof. And she immediately apologizes. But it comes out really ugly. And, you know, that's eventually what leads her to everything with Jackson, which I have thoughts on later. But those are the moments that I think of. I also think of her in Donna Reed when she says to Lorelai, like, "Why didn't you call me? Why didn't you call Patty? Why didn't you call Andrew? Of all the people you could have called that would have dropped anything to come over, you called Luke." And I was like,
I would call Luke over Andrew, Suki.
Honestly, same. But like, even in Concert Interruptus, when they're up in the nosebleeds, that's another thing that I think Suki handled with grace. Her getting those tickets for Lorelai, and then Lorelai being like, "Hey, I want to give these to Rory and her friends so that she can make friends at school." And Suki was like,
"They weren't even hers to give."
No, they weren't. But she was like, "Great, let's sit in the nosebleed section." That's a good friend who like sits up there and they cackle together. But one of the conversations they have is about Rachel, because Lorelai had no idea Rachel existed. And so they have this whole conversation about her. And Suki's like, "I just find it interesting that you're asking." Like, she's just very straight and to the point. And we kind of lose that as the show goes on. So I want to take stock of it as we move into seasons 5 through 7, because I'm not as familiar with those seasons. And I feel like seasons 1 through 3 are when we really do get Suki Honesty Hour. Yeah. We lose it in 4.
Yeah.
Let's see where we go.
Because we lose the kitchen. Because, like, if you think about it, like, that moment takes place in the kitchen. Even when she tells Suki that she slept with Christopher, they're in the kitchen in the middle of the night.
Oh my God, you're totally right. You're totally right.
Well, I mean, to be those other ones, she was in the nosebleeds at a concert. So like not 100% of the time, but
in the middle of the street. But
Which she stops to buy strawberries. So like
the strawberries with the strawberry shortcake. Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. Speaking of, I'd love to get into her relationship with Jackson, because of course it is their anniversary this week.
Yeah. You said speaking of because of the strawberries, and then she chases Jackson down the street because he sees her buying the strawberries.
That's one of my favorite moments, not to spoil any of my favorite moments that we're about to get into with Suki and Jackson. No. But before we do,
that's on my list.
We put this out there that we were going to do a Suki Jackson episode quite some time ago by the time this episode airs, because we're recording this very much in advance. However, when we put up a question box about what people wanted us to talk about with the Suki and Jackson episode, like 95% of you said the vasectomy that he did not get.
I was shocked.
We were scrolling through and everything was like vasectomy, vasectomy, vasectomy. I was like, oh my God.
Every other answer, if not more, like there was so much about it. Because I was like, oh, people want to know about our favorite Suki moments, yeah. our favorite Jackson moments, cutie moments, vasectomy. Yeah.
Literally.
Every single answer.
It was all about the vasectomy.
I think I was surprised because, I mean, we haven't made it, it's not like a secret that like season seven is our not our favorite.
Right.
Like that we don't really like accept the storyline as canon. It's kind of like fan fiction. Mm-hmm. So like I was surprised that everyone was like, oh, talk about the vasectomy, because like we just write it off as like a season seven mishap mm-hmm. that like they didn't know what was going on. We don't know what's going on. It's kind of a mutual WTF is happening here. So I was surprised that so many people were like, this is the moment.
I know.
We can talk about it.
We can talk about it. Yeah. We don't really want to like dig into Jackson and Suki's flaws too much in this episode because it is their anniversary episode. So we're not going to roast them. Yeah. But this was one we felt like we had to talk about because so many people had something to say about it.
People.
So based on what we've heard and what we've learned online, Melissa McCarthy was actually pregnant.
Yeah. I think her daughter's name is Vivian. She was pregnant with Vivian at the time.
Yeah.
And boy, did the season five writers not write them a loophole for that one.
The loophole maybe was that he either didn't get the vasectomy, but someone wrote in our question box, what if they just said that the vasectomy didn't work? I don't know how likely that is. I am not a doctor or a scientist, as we established at the beginning of this episode.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know either, but like, they really backed them into a hole with that one. And then she gets pregnant. And like we were talking about this before of like they could have done the whole like pillow sitting in front of the stomach, the shooting
classic,
from only the neck up.
Classic yeah, Hollywood tricks. And
yeah. Because like they wrote in there like a stop, do not pass go, do not collect $200 in that one for that storyline. So it's kind of like, what are they going to do other than he didn't get it or it failed? Him not getting it was not the right choice.
People had mixed feelings. Well, people had very hard and fast feelings about it. Most people were like, I can't believe he lied to her about this. But there were some people who brought up the fact that she made him get it against his will.
Yeah.
She was like, you're getting a vasectomy.
Well,
and so it's like, yeah, I can understand why if he just was like, I didn't want to get one. Fine. But lying to her about it is where it's really, if he was like, you know, I really don't want to get one, I'd rather use birth control, I'm fine with using birth control, that's one thing. But for him to, as the narrative goes, for him to say he got it when he didn't actually get it, is just really sneaky and manipulative.
Yeah. And it's just weird. It's just a weird thing between this couple that like, quite literally, that doesn't make sense.
I know.
Like, Suki would notice that he didn't have that done because, like, she'd been like, where have you been for the last hour?
Right.
You should have been getting a vasectomy. Why do you have powdered sugar all over your mouth? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's just like a, maybe he was eating donuts is where my mind went there.
Well, I figured.
From the vending machine at the hospital.
As much.
It's just like, it feels like so strange, like not to mention the like consensual aspect of it to like introduce that into the show. It just feels really, really weird.
Yeah.
And I don't think that she was doing it like against his will. Mm-hmm. Like I think if he could, he would have been like, I'm not doing this. And like, she's like, haha, joke. You're going to get it done. Like they could have, he could have stopped it.
Yeah.
He's not like the doctor's going to like hold him under not and like refuse it.
Sure.
There's just, it's just on both ends. It's kind of like, huh. But it was their way out of an actual pregnancy from Melissa McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if that softens it for people, that it's just like they had to write it this way.
They had to write it.
Because they had to. But for me, it did, because I was like, oh, okay, I guess. And also it's a season seven plot line. And for me, a season seven plot line is something that I'm like, yes, it happened, we have to acknowledge it. But it's like something I don't really love holding against these characters, you know, because I'm just
exactly. I don't like holding it against Jackson all that much because it's a season seven thing.
Right.
And it just feels like That's not him.
I know.
That's not him.
I know.
It's just like a weird choice on behalf of the writers to write that like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Would you have rather had like Suki cheat?
Well, that's the thing. Like, I don't know. I guess I'm curious what the alternative would be for anybody who's really, really upset by that storyline. What, and knowing the background and the solution to the problem that they had to come up with, what other solution would have made sense to you? Or what other solution would you have preferred? Because there was someone who said like the vasectomy didn't work or something to that effect, which would have been interesting, but I think a little too sitcom-y. It would have been like Jackson and Suki sitting with a doctor that's like, I am so sorry, but the vasectomy, I guess it didn't work and we're so sorry. You know, like that feels very sitcom-y plotline to me.
It does feel a little Suki Jackson plotline, because a lot of their plotlines end up kind of sitcom-y in the background of this dramedy.
That's fair.
Of like, it's kind of these like outlandish things happen to them.
Yeah.
Like Jackson and his wrestling pajamas.
Oh, yeah.
There's just elements of it that you're just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what is happening between the two? Like a chef and a produce farmer are getting married. That's a sitcom. Totally. So it feels like it could exist.
Yeah. But if there are any other solutions out there, let us know what you think.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
Other than just ignoring it and not including it in the plot line, because...
Do you remember where it happened? Like, were they close enough to the end that maybe Melissa wasn't showing? Or... I just don't. Now, when we watch season 7, I'm going to be so aware of it, because I didn't realize that she was actually pregnant at the time.
Isn't that when she makes Jackson go sleep at Lorelai's house and Jackson breaks her dollhouse?
I really don't remember.
I don't know. I have no idea. I think it's later in season 7, but I don't think it's close enough to the end to...
Right, that they could have...
Wash it away.
Right, wash it away.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway... We just wanted to get that out of the way, because so many people said it. I think if we didn't address it in this episode, they would have been like, what is going on?
Hot topic.
Literally. Hot topic. But let's talk about Suki and Jackson and all of the things that we love. So starting with... kind of a more of a question, not necessarily like, what do you love? How do we think they ended up in Stars Hollow?
I think that Suki got, I will say, yesterday when we were putting these questions together, Tara misread it and she said, how did they end up in Ohio? And I was like, when did they go to Ohio? It was absolutely simply hilarious. But
I was having a bad thinking day.
Yeah, thinking was not happening much. Yeah. But I think that Suki just got a job at the inn after her culinary history with Joe, wherever she was at the Deer Hill Lodge.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that this was just along her career path and she ended up as a chef at the inn, and that's how her and Lorelai became friends.
I agree.
And that's that.
Totally. I think that Jackson
lived there.
Yeah. I think that Andrew makes a comment about how they went to high school together.
Did I make that up? Which I thought Andrew was a lot younger. I mean, a lot older than everyone, but not seemingly based on the way that he talks to Luke and subsequently to Jackson.
Interesting.
Contemporaries? I don't know. I think because Greg. Who's Greg? Jackson.
Greg's in Ohio.
Oh, God. Andrew. Who's Greg? I don't know what just happened there. Just had like the Rolodex really just.
We finally lost our minds.
I think that happened quite some time ago. But Andrew, he kind of has graying hair. And so maybe that's why I like project.
Yeah, he has like the salt and pepper hair, which.
Though, like, that doesn't mean that he is any older.
Maybe for so many people, faster. It's just, people gray a little early. It's true.
So I don't know. But I think that he was in Stars Hollow, which is weird because I think that what we talked about this is that his family never gets really brought up as being in Stars Hollow because there's like Bo and Rune, but they're not local. They seem to
seem to travel into town. Yeah. Isn't there an episode, there definitely is, where Jackson's family comes in and that's when we see Bo again and he licks the key in front of Lorelai?
Always a godmother, never a god.
For the baby shower. Okay.
Yeah. No, it's the...
Or the christening. The baptism, the christening. Yes, you're totally right. So I guess maybe once we watch that episode, maybe we'll learn a little bit more about Jackson's family.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Yeah. But it seems to be that he grew up there, or at least grew up nearby there, and eventually became kind of the produce guy, the farmer in town.
Yeah. And to be fair, it's one of those things of like, maybe he grew up there and they moved away and he stayed. But it's like, he's one of those characters that like, I could know his backstory, but I'm also okay just knowing as much as I know.
That's fair. That's so valid.
Yeah.
But the way that they really connect is over food. Food is their love language, both of them. I really miss the days where Jackson would like cross-pollinate fruit. I mean, he would be like, Rasquat?
Rasquat.
Yeah. I really miss those days. That was genuinely like such a huge character trait for him in season one.
Yeah. And I feel like we lose that. I remember you bringing this
up then. I did. Yeah. I was like, this used to be his thing, that he was cross-pollinating fruit. And I really wish that they had taken that storyline a little further, because it would have been fascinating for him to be like this kooky farmer who like cross-pollinates fruit, only to invent something that's like actually popular that people take seriously.
Yeah.
I don't know. That could have been really fun.
Isn't that what Suki's doing in the revival? She's doing some sort of farming.
You brought this up. We were having a deja vu conversation, because you're right. We did talk about this. I don't remember. But that would go hand in hand. We totally talked about this. I just don't remember when.
Okay. Wow. Probably on Patreon when you brought this up the first time.
Probably. But I do remember you mentioning that. Me being like, I don't know. I feel like I haven't seen the revival enough times to really have retained the way they explained away Suki not being there. But Yeah.
This is also to mention that we're going to do a revisiting of Suki and Jackson after we finish, just to like have that storyline fresh in our mind of like five, six, and seven, and maybe like the roasting of them a little bit, because we're not going to do it today.
Not today.
In celebration of their marriage.
No, but there were a lot of criticisms about their relationship and the direction that it takes, their marriage, and how their relationship seemingly falls off in the later seasons. And because we just watched seasons 1 through 4, I feel like talking about them, not cutting it off. Obviously, we've talked about a lot of things that happen in the later seasons, but, you know, kind of talking about the beginnings of them and a lot of the good things, because I feel like those really shine in the early seasons. Personally.
Yeah, except for them accidentally growing weed. That's immediately hilarious. What I thought of.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
I love when he sleeps with the zucchini.
That's like, oh my God.
That's his love language.
That's a good friend moment from Jackson to, I think, Lorelai and Sugi. I think sometimes he's like friendly to her.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good moment. I love that. But I feel like hearkening back to Melissa versus Alex for Suki, I feel like had Alex and Jackson, like an actual married couple, been in this dynamic, it would have been really fascinating. But I think that the fights that happened between Suki and Jackson, the character, wouldn't have been as interesting with a Alex Borstein Suki, because I think it would have been like just a very quick like transition from her regular personality to fighting with Jackson, like Suki's regular personality to fighting with Jackson. But because Suki is so bubbly, when she turns around and starts getting defensive about the produce and like everything that goes into her food, she gets so like incensed with him, like about this one thing, and then she can so easily flip and be like, okay, I'll see you at home.
I love it.
So like, it's moments that like that like, I feel like that's why Melissa really works for Suki, is because she makes this dynamic really work. Because Jackson can be a little bit whiny. I won't dive too much into that. But I think Suki balances it really well, because she can just be so cute about it afterwards.
Totally.
That it makes it the fights between them that you're like, aw, a marital dispute. How adorable.
I know. No, you're so right. I totally agree. Because it could have had a little too much edge to it all around that would make that switch not as exciting to watch. And it is with Suki, because she gets so incensed over when things don't go her way, specifically when it comes to food. I mean, we get the Suzy St. James and stuff, but we also see it come out at Luke when she's on bed rest and she's up in the she's up in the dragonfly.
She's in the room.
She is just, she's very particular. She can be very high strung, and she likes things being done her way. So when she orders something, she expects to see it, like the squash blossoms.
Of course, the squash blossoms, which I want to try. They had the squash blossoms at the Mayfield Inn.
They
did. Do you remember that?
I do.
The inn that we visited that Amy was at when she wrote like the first bit of Gilmore Girls and was inspired. And that's like the inspiration for the Independence Inn, they had squash blossoms.
They did. And we were like, they did that on purpose. I know. Because, like, I will always think of them when I hear squash blossoms. And
yeah.
I've never heard of a zucchini tush, but they do mention that in the same episode. A zucchini tush.
Yeah.
And that's also the moment that kind of brings them together. That's when she, I believe, asks him out. When he's like, here are your precious squash blossoms so you can fry them and blah, blah, blah. And she's like, will you date me? Do you want to go out sometime? Yeah. Oh, so actually what she does say is, do you want to go out to dinner sometime with me? Okay.
Yeah.
It's so cute. So cute. I love when she asks him out. I love that she asks him out, which we'll talk about in a second. But yeah, their love language, how they really connect and how they also, like, where they also have their fights, where their conflicts exists often is within food. And going back to the strawberries, I love that conflict between the two of them. He brings her blueberries and she's like, where are the strawberries? I needed the strawberries. Like, I don't know why I sounded like Jennifer Coolidge when I just said that, but she wants to make
a little bit,
just a little hint of Jennifer Coolidge, but she wanted to make strawberry shortcake. And she's like, what can I do with these blueberries? And he's like, blueberry shortcake. And she's like, no one has ever made blueberry shortcake. And she does end up making it because that's what she has. But
well, because on the street, she finds those strawberries. I guess it's a dozy's outside. Yeah, and he's like, how dare you? And then she starts running after him. And he's like running with his arms stuck. And
then yeah, he's
there's
running.
Like a car that's going to hit them.
The car is swerving. He's running with his arms completely at his side. I was like, who taught you how to run, my guy?
Who taught? So same funny. Person who taught Rory how to run in season 4, honestly.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, it just felt like that's how you know he's from Stars Hollow. He doesn't know how to run.
There you go. That's the rumor. It's
something about that school, about Stars Hollow High. I can't teach you how to run.
That's true.
But regardless, that moment between the two of them, I love so much. She's even not willing to even get another supplier. That you think that Suki would like go full send for the food that she ends up with blueberry shortcake. It sounds good to me.
Honestly, that sounds fantastic. I love strawberry shortcake too. Ooh,
love
so
it.
Good.
Yeah.
So good. But I do think that if I had to give an actual love language to the two of them, I do think they are both acts of service. And I think that is in the form of food, cooking, etc. Like when Jackson wants to make dinner for her. Remember that moment? This is when she comes over and asks, when Lorelai comes over and asks to borrow the car. And she's like, yeah, come here. Come here. Yeah, hold on. I'm just she's like trying to like peek inside and he wants to pack the dishwasher and she just does not know how to let him do this because she is very controlling. And I think she is also an acts of service kind of person in the way that she shows up for Lorelai, in the way that she shows up through her relationship with Jackson, cooking, etc. Everything she does with, I think that that's also kind of why they had the tussle over manning up Suki's house, because she just does it. She does it. And she's just like, this is my act of service to you because I want you to be, no, I want you to be happy. And he's like, I was happy. It was all fine. You know? So I think they're both acts of service people. What do you think?
Yeah. I think acts of service. I think that there is a little bit laced with quality time a little bit in there.
Totally.
Because at least with Suki, because Suki's always like, let's go out. Let's go do a thing. Let's go do this thing. Mm-hmm. And she always wants to find the time to like really have dedicated friend time with Lorelai, even if it does get derailed, regardless of what actually happens. But I think that
that's so true.
They're both heavy acts of service, but they also love quality time.
They do.
So I think that that's like kind of like the secondary, a little laced with quality time, but definitely.
No, I agree.
Acts of service, because their love language is food.
1,000%.
Because he provides the food, she makes the food. Sometimes he tries to make the food and it makes her angry.
I know.
But it's all connected.
Totally. I agree. So we were speaking about their first date earlier. I think it's so cute that she asks him out on this date and everything that happens with Rune and them going to the fancy restaurant and then going to Luke's and how that was just so much better for the two of them. And she takes down her hair. It's I love their first date, despite the fact that Rune was just ruined it. I think that it's such an excellent story to tell. It's a great episode. I really like that episode from season 1.
Yeah. I like that they almost try to make it more than it is. Like they try to go to this fancy dinner. She tries to get really dressed up. They try to make it this event that is not them. And then, like you said, she takes her hair down. They get burgers at Luke's and it's just them. And that's who they are for the rest of the series. It's like, they're not trying to be anyone else because they were for a second. And I think that's kind of what you do a little bit on a date is like you kind of you hide the rest of you, but they're trying to put like their best foot forward and neither of the feet that they are putting their forward are their own feet.
No.
So they go back to Luke's and it all works out. It all makes sense.
Which is really sweet.
The first half of their the second half of their first date.
Yeah. The second half is like the real first date. But a lot of people asked, or more than one person asked, if we thought that Suki asked Jackson out because of the conversation that she had with Lorelai about Max and Lorelai kind of lashing out at her, being like, you haven't been in a relationship in years. And it kind of prompts her to ask the first person out that she sees. Or do you think that she was harboring feelings for him? Which is a very interesting question to answer because I think it's a little bit of both.
I think it is both. I think that that sort of comment, if you will, from Lorelai lit like a fire under her because I think that she was already into Jackson and she was like, yeah, I maybe haven't been out in a while and maybe it made her consider what that meant and what she wants. Mm-hmm. And I think she it gave her the courage, unfortunately, in a bad way. But I think it ended up being good because it made her reflect in her own mind of what she wanted. And I think it was Jackson.
Yeah. I think it's a little bit of both. I think that conversation with Lorelai maybe opened her eyes to the fact that she had some feelings for Jackson. I don't know if it was something she was necessarily actively thinking about. You know, I think that maybe it was something that like, you know, she was like, oh, I actually have this really great rapport with this guy. And Lorelai just mentioned that, you know, I haven't been out in a while.
Maybe this could be a thing.
I should put myself back out there. Yeah. You know, when someone's like directly in front of you and until you it's really brought to your attention, maybe it's not something that you considered. I don't know. That's just.
And because I think some people were like, was she into Jackson or was he just there like in general? And I'm like, I don't see how those can like why one has to take precedence over the other. He was there and she was into him.
Yeah.
They live in a small town.
That's true.
This is, you know, she actually liked him. I don't think it was like her settling like, oh, I'm going to date the produce farmer.
I guess.
this is it for me.
Yeah. But you know what? Someone also brought up that they wished that we had gotten to see Suki date a little bit before, like before just kind of giving us this relationship that she has with Jackson.
Yeah.
And I totally agree. I love the relationship she has with Jackson, but I do wish that we had maybe gotten the establishment of Suki a little longer. Like, I wonder how we would have felt about that, even if she didn't date anybody else. But maybe if it was brought to our attention in like season two, if Lorelai and Suki end up having this conversation and she's like, you haven't been in a relationship in years. And it's like, oh yeah, we actually didn't think about the fact that Suki hasn't dated anybody. We just...
Yeah.
Suki's just Suki. But I don't know if, you know, it happens in episode 11. So, I mean, it was halfway through the season. She had been established to a certain extent, but I don't know.
Yeah. And we had established Jackson at that point.
That's true.
I don't know. It's one of those things of like talking about Suki and pulling her out like this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I want more Suki. I want to figure it out. But it's like at the sacrifice of what?
Right.
Like, what are we sacrificing in the storyline to get enough about Suki and her past? But I mean, we could have dropped it in her little asides, her honesty hours, her little kitchen moments. Like, it wouldn't take away too much. But I don't know. I kind of like that we get this kind of simple sort of this
direct
is who she was.
Path.
This is who she likes. This is who she marries after she dates.
Yeah, well, I mean, we already have so many complexities with the other ones, with the other characters.
Yeah, I kind of like that she's just this delightfully simple girl.
That's true.
Who wants simple things.
Yeah.
Like good food.
Good food and a good man.
Nice produce farmer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Totally agree. Speaking of their proposal, one of my favorite. I've said it before. I'll say it again.
I think the best one.
I just think it's the best one. I love it. I think it's so sweet. Yeah. I just love it. No notes for me.
Yeah. I love that Jackson, I don't like that Jackson doesn't bid on her basket.
Me too.
I'm like,
don't
come on,
that.
My dude.
Yeah.
But I like that the effort that he goes through to get it back, that he realizes, like, this is mine, actually.
I
that he has to pay quite a bit for, like, literally has to pay quite a bit for having lost it.
Totally.
I'm like, yeah, you needed to do that. You got to win her back.
Yeah, I just love it as a whole. I love it. It's so good. Which brings me to the best of Suki and Jackson.
Yeah, I feel like we've talked about quite a bit of the best because my first best is the Kill Me Now run through the streets.
Oh my God, the run through the street is so, 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 so good. I also love when he reluctantly agrees to be the squire at the Bracebridge dinner.
Yeah.
So funny. I know you don't love that episode, but it really cracks me up.
Well, I don't hate it. I know you don't. But that is one of the aspects of it that I do love.
Yeah.
And that he's playing drums on his stomach.
Yeah.
not Bootsy necessarily was, the two of them.
Bootsy was playing spoons on his head.
Yeah. So not necessarily funny. Suki and Jackson moment, but
totally.
I do.
Just
I
a good Jackson moment. I don't love the... I'm with Luke in They Shoot Gilmore's, Don't They? That I think 4 and 4 is crazy. That's a crazy ask of someone. If you don't have that conversation maybe before you get married, if you have had 4 kids in 4 years, I commend you immensely because that's a lot.
My mom had 4 and 6.
That's a lot. My grandma had 4 and 8. Like every 2 years or so. Actually, was it 4 and 8? Yeah, she had 4 and 6. Just like your mom.
Yeah.
That is, and I felt like that was a lot. That's just a lot on your body. That's a lot on your mind.
It's a lot on her mind.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. But anyway, I feel like it's something they should have talked about before. But circumstances aside, I love the argument that they have in the middle of the gym.
I love it. It is I love so it so much. Funny. The runaround argument.
Yeah. Yes. It's so good. And then when he comes over and Luke gets involved and he's just like, okay, I have to say something. And he's like, all right, I'm going to leave now. If it's okay with Lorelai or Luke or that strange man in the corner who I've never met. Excuse me, strange man in the corner. Is it okay if I quit this contest? Like, he's just absolutely melting down. And he's like, my childbearing arrangements are between me and Suki and the Lord. Like, Luke just can't help but, like, insert himself into the equation. I just think it's one of my favorite moments. Still in
is
the vein
it the best of them?
Oh,
maybe
I don't
not,
know.
But, like, but it is the best of them.
It's characters. Just one of my favorite moments. I also love, like, speaking to their arguments in season 3 with Joe at the Deer Hill Lodge when she's like, I'm a whore! And she goes home and she makes, like, all of his favorite foods and then she puts CCR on. He's like, you made all my favorite foods and you put on CCR. You cheated on me! No! Oh my God! I flirted accidentally! It's just so, like, what a beautiful argument to have that she literally felt so guilty about the fact that she accidentally flirted with someone, which she didn't even do, but she accidentally led someone on to believe that they had a chance with her that she
was just friendly.
She was just nice and she just like makes all of his favorite foods, put on CCR because she has to tell him that she did this, and I just think that's so wholesome.
Well, speaking of wholesome, this is when I found out who CCR was. What's the song that I know by them? Because we found out that I know one of their songs. I forget what it is, but in the what's it called, the season 4 finale, this is when Suki forgets that it's her anniversary, and so she goes out and gets him a gift, and it is a CCR t-shirt. So I love that like maintains throughout the show that like that is his favorite and that she remembers that. But that is when I found out who CCR was, because he was like, I'm never gonna be able to listen to them again. But he does, because she gets him a t-shirt.
You ruined CCR for me. Have you ever seen The Rain?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah. They also have Proud Mary. I don't know if they wrote. Did they write that?
Oh, did they?
Yeah, he wrote it. He wrote it. And that's crazy. That's crazy.
That's wild. So I guess I knew a couple of their songs, but it was the Have You Ever Seen the Rain one that I remembered. But I just like that little through line that she knows that about him. And so she would run out and get him a CCR t-shirt. From wherever, and Stars Hollow would sell a CCR t-shirt.
I know. Oh. So funny.
Maybe at the Cat Club.
Or maybe at, oh gosh, what's Carol King's character's name?
Oh, Sophie's?
Sophie. I was going to call her Susie. Sophie's. Maybe they sell
Sophie's
panties.
Sophie's Music Shop. Maybe they sell panties. I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
Sophie doesn't seem like the type, but she does also seem like the type that likes income.
That's true. She does like money.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are like some of my, because people were asking about some of our favorite fights that they have.
I also really, really love when Jackson runs for town selectman and Suki basically becomes a politician's wife for the duration of the episode.
It's so funny. Tippecanoe and Taylor 2. We're about to watch that.
Yeah. We are. Wow. That's one of my favorite episode titles. But like, I just, there's something about the two of them in that I just love what like overcomes Suki in that. Yeah. That she really just full send is ready to be Mrs. Town Selectman.
I know. I also really love, we were talking about Happy Birthday Baby and Suki not being included in that, in Rory's planning of the birthday party. I really love that Jackson like confronts Rory about it and is like, hey, I have a crying pregnant woman at home because you didn't include her. And it's just very, it's like very.
And he's like, that's not unusual.
But like the way he stands up for her there, he also does the same thing with Luke at some point in season four. Remember he like tries to get up and be like, to Luke. It's very sweet and endearing. And when he's upset with Luke, I think it is in season six when she's pregnant and she's on bed rest and he drives her in the golf cart and he's
it's
like
in season five
it's in season five it's,
but I'm a Gilmore
and he's like we're not talking to Luke like he's so pooty and I know a lot of people don't like that about him, but I do appreciate that he like comes to the defense of his wife. It's very sweet.
Yeah
he's really, like we're a team really we are her. A partnership, like if you're mad I'm mad, and I'm like okay, I got it.
Yeah because there are parts of him that definitely, if we're talking about the fights that we're not so fond of, or well, no, we're talking about fights we are fond of, not fights we're not fond of, because there are a couple of Jackson, but I won't bring them up here because I feel like to do so would negate the celebration of Suki and Jackson.
It's true. And we're here to celebrate them. I think overall, I really, you know, we'll talk about it when we get into it in another episode about maybe the flaws of their relationship. But I think for the most part, I really do like their relationship in the early seasons. I think it's very fun. I love Suki's character. And I wish that we had still continued to get the Suki honesty hour, even when she was in a relationship with someone else. And maybe when Lorelai was turning to other people to have these conversations, like her daughter, or maybe Luke or whoever it may be. I just love her character. I think she is really well thought out. I think Melissa played her so, so impeccably well.
So well.
Like,
and I think that for all of the flaws that people brought up in our comments and us asking about this on our Instagram question box about Jackson, I feel like for what they offer to the show, they're good. Like, I think that if we like pull them apart too much, we're going to 100% see some toxicity within this. But I think that what they offer to kind of like the background, a B plot, a C plot sometimes to the overall show. I think that we need them and we need their energy, and like the antics that they get up to can sometimes really just work. Like, oh, that one episode in season, I think it's in season six when they have Luke and, not Luke and Rory, Luke and Lorelai over for dinner and like everything's crazy, and then they have a fight and Jackson is like, is it my rub that on the burger or whatever, and she's like, yes it was.
Oh, when they like, have when they have Suki and Jackson to their house, to Lorelai's house, and they get into the fight because Christopher's voicemail plays.
Because then there's another one where they
go to Suki and Jackson's, and remember they're so crazy, they're like, turn off the TV, Davey, turn it off, son. And it's just like,
and he kind of doesn't care, but there there's the two incidents of that, but it's the one where like if we tear it apart, like you could be like, oh, Jackson's really selfish, he's really self-centered, it doesn't recognize other things are going on. But it's just a funny levity to a serious situation that I think that they offer.
Totally.
That if you read too much into it, you're going to go down a deep rabbit hole that maybe you didn't want to end up in. And that just to kind of keep them on the surface.
Totally.
Is where we need to be.
Yeah. But overall, really love their relationship. Glad we kind of got to dissect it a little bit today.
Yeah.
Speaking of couples we love.
Yeah.
We're going to have Maya and Hunter back on the podcast next week, which we're so excited about.
I'm so fucking excited.
Oh my gosh. So it's been a little over a year since we talked to them. As you may remember, we had them on to discuss, I think it was seasons one through middle of five. Hunter was watching it for the first time. Yes. And he was watching it for the first time with Maya, who had watched the series several times. So we're really excited to share with them predictions that Hunter had for the rest of the series, because they're done now. They finished the series last year. Yeah. And
he's had a rewatch since.
Oh, perfect. I'm so excited.
So I can't wait to hear about 5 through 7, the revival thoughts, a rewatch thoughts. There's so many questions that I have for them that we'll get into. But our next two episodes will be with Maya and Hunter, which I'm really excited for because we have a June 3rd episode coming up that I think is going to be super fun.
And we'll have more to say on that in the next episode.